Friends, our topic this morning is from 1 Corinthians 7, and so I invite you to get your Bibles open in 1 Corinthians 7. We're looking at Christian singleness, and I need to admit to you straight off the bat, I'm not sure how I didn't feel great putting this sermon together this morning, because I don't feel very qualified to speak about singleness, because I wasn't single for that long. I was married when I was 23. And I was in a former relationship before I met Elise, my wife, and that was when I was 18. And so I've only really been single as an adult for probably a year. So I don't feel very qualified. Maybe I'm a bit more qualified than Wayne. I think he's been married for a very long time. But, yeah, get your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians 7. And what you'll notice as Arachmol read the Bible readings for us, is that there are a variety of themes in our passage today. We're looking at singleness, but you'll still notice that there are themes of marriage as well. There's divorce, there's widowhood, there's circumcision, there's uncircumcision, there's slavery, and there's freedom. Somehow, Paul has been able to put every discussion point into our text today. But not only this, he puts the cherry on top by using the last three verses to discuss the end of the world, as you do. There's one thing that continually came to my mind as I was writing this sermon. It feels chaotic. But somehow, in the midst of these verses, I was supposed to give a sermon on singleness. I have a sneaking suspicion that this is the reason Wayne assigned me this text. But despite the many themes in this passage, we're not going to go into all of them today, but we're going to go into quite a few. I think there's a pretty clear challenge for us that can be seen from our passage today. So I want you to follow along with me. I don't want to tell you what the challenge is from our passage. I want to see, as we go through, I'll announce it at the end, what I think our challenge is. And I want to see if you can follow along with me and see if you can pick up what Paul is challenging us with as we go. And please, I do want to encourage you again, have 1 Corinthians 7 open, because Paul throughout 1 Corinthians 7 mentions singleness in different areas. So we'll be looking throughout the whole of chapter 7 today, not just in our reading. Usually Paul is pretty tidy and he likes to keep things topic by topic, but when it comes to 1 Corinthians 7, and as we saw in our passage, there's a lot of things he wants to talk about. So today's sermon is on Christian singleness. Before we go further, I think it's important to say the wider church across the centuries, all over the world, has at times had some funny views on singleness. And I think that you and I, we are guilty of these things at times, and we need to admit them and own up to them and confess them. The church and its people have been guilty of thinking that someone who is single is missing out. Marriage in Western culture is very normal, it's very natural. A lot of people grow up thinking they will get married. And for some reason, to not be married has been considered unnatural in our culture. I think this is a wrong view. I think Paul thinks this is a wrong view. And I think that's something that the church has been guilty of. Singleness in some societies, they can be the subject of a joke. Some churches, they undervalue singleness, and some churches overvalue singleness. Some churches don't know how to look after single people at all. And likewise, some churches have ministries that are dedicated to this area and they look after them very well. And even if you think about it, the wider church leaders are very divided on this issue. Singleness is viewed very differently. It's very well known that in the Roman Catholic Church, priests cannot marry. They have to be single and celibate. They have to be in no relationship. And then you come to Protestant churches like our churches, like our church, and it's very normal to have married pastors. To the point where if someone is single, we can get suspicious of them if they were in ministry. So I think it's important that we look at this text with careful eyes. And the there are three points that we're going to look at today. So firstly, I want us to look at what Paul says about being single and looking to marry. Secondly, what Paul says about being single and staying single. And thirdly, we're going to look back at our first few verses that were read to us today, and we're going to see how circumcision and slavery and singleness, how they can possibly be connected, which I think is an important question. So we'll go one by one. So firstly, what does Paul say about being single and looking to marry? Well, some people would say from our text that Paul is advocating against marriage. You can kind of glean that this would be true when you see some of Paul's phrases. Have a look at verse 1. He says, it is good for a man not to marry. Well, take that on face value. It seems like Paul is definitely advocating for singleness and against marriage. Or verse 7. I wish that all men were as I am. And then you get to verses 8 and 9 as well. Paul says to the unmarried and the widow, so he says to the single people, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I am. But his emphasis in these verses, I don't think they're advocating against marriage, but they are advocating for singleness. Verses 8 and 9 of this chapter are the first verses where Paul discusses singleness. So we're just going to look at them now, and I think they'll be helpful for us in our wider context of what we're looking at now. So Paul notes from verse 9, if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. Remembering that Paul is addressing single people in this instance, he's recognizing that for some people, marriage is what they may desire. And that's a good thing. It's better to marry than to be filled with passion, Paul says. And then if you flash forward to our text today and you look at verses 25 to 28, again, it might seem like Paul is advocating against marriage. He says in verse 26, because of the present crisis, I think it is good for you to remain as you are. And then in verse 27, are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. Seems pretty strong, doesn't it? And then, of course, the classic text that all married couples know. It seems like marriage is doomed from the beginning when you get to verse 28. Paul says, those who marry will face many troubles in this life. I want to spare you of this. But it's important to note, in these verses, something is happening behind the scenes. And it's something that we don't really know about and something we can't see. Look at verse 26 very carefully. It starts with, because of the present crisis. Because of the present crisis. So the Corinthian church is in crisis at the moment. Naturally, the question will be, well, what is the crisis? There's a few different views. One commentator by the name of Bruce Winter, he says that there are historical records that will back him up on this, that there is famine and grain shortage happening around Corinth in the first century. So that could have had social and economic results. Is that the crisis? Well, maybe. We can't really know for sure because those crises that the history books mention, they don't have a date. They only say in the first century or roundabout in the first century. And that's 100 years. So Maybe there was famine and grain shortage. Maybe not. So what do we know, though? What can we glean from these verses about the crisis? Whatever it was, Paul's advice was don't get married because of it. Stay single for the time being. Paul's advice is very true. If you and I think about our social context, when there are present crises in our lives, the social context does take play in this, doesn't it, in our decisions. You know, if a couple says to me, we want to get married, but we both have no money, we both have no jobs, and I say, wonderful, let's book it in next week, that would be ridiculous. Why? Well, they might love each other, sure, but their present circumstances would dictate getting married right now would be a bad idea. And likewise, Paul looks at the present crisis. Whatever it is, we're not sure, but he says, remain as you are for now. And I think it's important to say this because many churches and many people throughout history have pointed to these verses, these specific verses, and have said, this is the way Christians ought to live, single, not married. The strong are the ones who remain single. The weak get married. And it kind of moves into the asceticism that Wayne's been talking about over the last couple of weeks that the Corinthians were starting to believe in. And to remind you, the asceticism was the belief that you should avoid pleasure for religious reasons. And Wayne has already commented enough on why that is a ridiculous idea. The other way Paul's words could be read is to say that singleness is a command. Paul says those who marry will face many troubles in this life. But marriage or singleness is not a command here from Paul. At the beginning of verse 28, Paul says, if you do marry, you have not sinned. If you do marry, you have not sinned. So that's our kind of first opening into the Christian singleness aspect. Paul says, if you're single and you're wanting to marry, great. There is no sin involved in marriage and you can do it. But he also gives us a bit of context. Look for what is happening in your social context as to whether or not you should be married. Secondly, though, Paul says, if you're single and happy being single, good on you. Remain being single. I've got a confession to make, friends. If you're here today and you're single, I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm very jealous of you. It's not that I hate my wife and my kids. I absolutely love and adore them. What I'm really jealous of is your time. What I can tell you as a married man and anyone who's married in the room who has kids is that my time is divided. I remember before I was married, I used to think I didn't have time for things, and I look back now and I think how silly that statement is. You know what else I remember before I was married? If I had an afternoon off, I'd do what I want. I would go and watch TV, I would watch a movie, or I'd read a book, whatever I felt like. All of a sudden, a wife and two kids later, a third on the way, my wife and I find that our kids seem to think they have a say on how we spend our free time. I'll sit down on the couch on the rare occasion that I have an afternoon off, and I'll get a book, or I'll sit down to watch some TV, and Piper, my youngest at the moment, 2 years old, she'll come bounding up to me. She likes to gallop. She snuggles up into my lap and she says, Daddy, I want to watch Toy Story. And then Xander, he's got excellent ears, by the way. No doubt about his hearing. He'll run over and he'll say, no, not Toy Story, Daddy. I don't want to watch Toy Story. I want to watch Spider-Man. He's 4. He loves Spider-Man. The two kids start to argue on what they're going to watch, and all I wanted to do was sit on the couch. Your time is divided, Paul says. Your time is divided when you're married. So if you're happy being single, enjoy it. Because if you look at verses 34 and 35 of our chapter, Paul rightly reminds us married people's time is divided. You need to please the Lord. You need to please your partner. You need to please your kids. But when you're single, it's a true blessing to have your time wholly diverted to serving Jesus. Paul's advocating for single people to be free from the cultural pressures of the day and of our day too. So friends, if you're happy being single, don't get married. That's Paul's advice. He advocates for it. You're going to have so many opportunities that married people do not have. If you're single and you're happy, rejoice in the Lord for your singleness. Now, we've looked at those 2 points. I now want us to look back at this whole circumcision and slavery fit and how on earth these things fit into the discussion of singleness that we've looked at today. And I think, I want to admit, at first glance, I think it's hard to figure out why Paul would put a discussion about circumcision and slavery in the middle of chapter 7. It's almost in the middle of his whole discussion on marriage, singleness, divorce, and widowhood. It almost feels like, are you guilty of this? It's almost like Paul has just remembered something he wanted to say, so he quickly said it, and then he's gone back to the topic of singleness. Kind of like if you and I are working, we just have that quick thought, oh, yep, I've got to go to the shops and buy some milk. and we write it down so we don't forget, and then we keep working. It's almost like he's done that. But this is not what has happened. In fact, when you look closely, you can actually see a pattern in verses 17 to 24, which is where Paul discusses circumcision and slavery. That's where these two points come from. I'm going to read out three verses to you now. And as I do, I want you to see if you can glean what Paul is trying to get at here. So verses 17, verse 20, and verse 24, I'm going to read them out now. So verse 17, Paul says, "Nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has called him." Verse 20, "Each one should remain in the situation which he was in when God called him." Verse 24, "Brothers, each man as responsible to God should remain in the situation God called him to." Did you see the pattern? In these three verses, Paul pleads with the Corinthian church to remain true to what God has called them to. And he does so with the social topics that were of great controversy in the interests of the day. Circumcision, you could put that down to race because Jews were often discriminated against. It's documented in the history books that Jews would try to get uncircumcised so that they could compete in the Olympics, because if they were circumcised, they would get teased. Or they would actually have surgical procedures to try and get uncircumcised so that they could get better jobs. So Paul is speaking into his culture, into very, very controversial topics. And then, of course, you've got another controversial topic of social class or slavery. It would make sense, wouldn't it, to say, if you're a Christian, stop being a slave. But Paul says, remain as you are. People were placed in society by their race and their social setting. That's how people saw them. It's not too dissimilar to how we've been traveling the last 2,000 years, has it? So what Paul is doing by placing marriage and singleness, circumcision and uncircumcision, slave and free together, is to say, Corinthian church, whatever social setting you find yourself in, wherever it was that you were in, where you came to faith in Jesus Christ, don't feel the cultural pressure to change. Don't change your status. Why? Well, because whether you're married or single, it doesn't make an ounce of difference to God. If culture says, I need to be married, don't listen. If culture says, I need a better job, don't listen. If culture says, I need a certain racial profile, don't listen. There's no need to improve your social setting in relation to God. Why? Friends, this is the crux of it all. This is the challenge that I mentioned at the beginning. Have you picked up what the challenge for us today is? Here it is. Whether you're single or married, whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised, whatever your social status is, whether you are slave or free, God desires your godly devotion no matter what. He desires for us to live our devotion out in the situation that God has called us in. And that's why I think verse 19 is really key for us today. Look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, "Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts." It's almost the crucial point of the whole thing, isn't it? He does use circumcision and uncircumcision as the example. But you just need to replace the words. It doesn't matter if you're a slave or a free. Keeping God's commands is what counts. It doesn't matter if you're married or single. Keeping God's commands is what counts. So for all of you here today, if you're single and you want to get married, great. Wait patiently on the Lord. The emphasis for you today is that you can be a Christian as you wait in the situation that God has placed you in. For single people who want to stay single, great. Paul says that's great. He advocates for singleness. The emphasis for you today is you can be a Christian in whatever situation you're in, because that's what God has placed you in. If you're married here today, great. You don't need to change the situations you're in due to what culture deems as what you should or shouldn't do, because you are in Christ. As a Christian, your primary duty is to devote who you are, everything that you are, everything that you have, to the Lord Jesus. And I think that this is why Paul is an advocate for singleness, by the way. Because if you have the ability and time to be more godly devoted, you have that time to be more godly devoted than your married friends. It's been my experience knowing single people who are Christians, who are in this church. And I know that that's true. It is a joy to know and learn from you. So let me finish by saying this. Paul is not opposed to staying single. Paul is not opposed to marriage. Paul is writing to all people. He's saying, look at your social status. Look at where you are in life. Have a solid godly devotion to the Lord first. That is what is most important to him. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for how you have blessed the church throughout the ages, and indeed in this church, with single people who are godly and devoted to you. I pray for all of us here that you would enable us to have this godly devotion that is placed deep into our hearts to serve you in your church, that we would not feel the need to change our situations or feel the pressure that culture has to be married or single, or for whatever our social status is or for wherever our lives are because of what the world thinks. But Lord, would you help us to be reminded that our status, our freedom and our worth is placed solely because we belong to Jesus Christ. Please help us to serve you with godly devotion, we pray. Amen.